Gemara in Maseches Sukkah comments on the pasuk Tzion hi doresh ein law, that Tzion, Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, so ein doresh law, no one's looking after her, no one's asking about her. So mikan, we learn out of halacha teavdina zech lamikdash. From here we see that the halacha requires of us to do different things to remember chlal davoy drisha, that the Navi is bemoaning the fact that people aren't thinking about the Beis HaMikdash, which leads us to believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to constantly be thinking about the Beis HaMikdash. So it's based on that that the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai made his takana that you have to shake a lulav for the entire week of Sukkot. Even though in the Torah you really only have to shake it one day, but since in the Beis HaMikdash you had to shake it the whole week, so he was misakin zech lamikdash. So that idea of doing things zech lamikdash we find throughout the year at different occasions. But I don't think there's any time like Pesach night that we find it to such an extent that we find that so many, so many things that are done throughout the Nilel Haseh there, which is to fulfill this halacha of Tzion Nidar Shalom Bechalda by Drisha Zechle Mikdush. So Gemara has it explicitly by one or two things, and then it's extended to other things as well. The Gemara has it in our Vipsachim, just in the Fiyom a couple of days ago, concerning the Seder of Achilas Matzah Maror. We know that there was a machlokes hill in the Rabbanon. What was the proper protocol to eat the matzah mor b'zman ha-mikdosh? So in the days of Beis HaMikdosh, Hillel was of the opinion that you have to eat the matzah mor b'yachad, a matzah mor b'chluhu. And according to the Rabbanon, you'd have to eat them separate, eat the matzah and the mor. So the Gemara says that even Hillel would concede that b'zman hazeh, you can't do the way you did it b'zman ha-mikdosh, because in the olden days, b'zman ha-mikdosh with matzah mor were both deraisa. So then Hillel's opinion was, ein mitzvah mevat lazu azu. You can eat them together and they don't negate, one doesn't negate the other. But b'zman hazeh, that mor is the Rabbanon, because it's totally in the mikdosh, on the Korban Pesach, and matzah still deraisa, so that even Hillel would concede that you can't really eat matzah mor b'yachad. That would be inappropriate to eat matzah mor b'yachad. It wouldn't be yaitzei, because asim mor d'rabbonim mevatel matzah deraisa. So therefore, it would follow that we should just forget this whole thing, forget the whole curve. But you have to put it, you're not yaitzei anyway if you eat them together with b'zman hazeh, according to anybody. So Gemara says no, that even though in order to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa of matzah, that to fulfill the mitzvah d'rabbonim of mor, you have to do it b'zeh hazeh. But Afa Bichain, according to Hillel, it would still make sense to do a Zeichel HaMikdosh. And that's what we do. And that's what the Gemara says, that after we finish being Yetzir the Mitzvahs, so we Yetzir the Choladeyes, and then we throw on, for good luck, we throw on a Zeichel HaMikdosh Kehillel. According to the Rabbanan, there would be no reason to make this Zeichel HaMikdosh, because that's not what they did with Zman HaMikdosh. But according to Hillel, it makes sense, and since we don't have a clear-cut halacha, who the halacha follows, we're not really sure who's right. So therefore, we throw in a kairich for good luck as a zeichel mikdash. That's, of course, what we do bizman hazeh. So you see, the Chazal are very, very concerned that they added a whole part to the Seder on something that we're not even sure is even necessary. But they wanted to make sure that you chop around a little bit of a zeichel mikdash. There is a machlokes that we showing him why we don't make bracha on karech. Some Rishonim say you don't make brachas on zechel mikdash, which is a very, very loaded statement, because lul of kol shiva, we talk, do make a bracha. Sfiras Omer, according to Tosis, is also zechel mikdash, we do make a bracha. So you have to figure out which zechel mikdash we do and which zechel mikdash we don't. But a core part of the fact that we make a zechel mikdash in the Seder is clear. Then the Gemara has another zechel mikdash, where the Gemara talks about the Shnei Tavshilin, that Bezman HaMikdash, so on the Seder table, there wasn't an egg in his roa, there was a Korban Pesach and Korban Chagiga. So Bezman HaZeh, we can't do that, so Chazal instituted that we make a zechel mikdash as well. There's another possible zechel mikdash that at least some poskim have, and that's the washing that we do at Urchatz. We wash our hands at this time twice at the Seder. The second time for Rachza is, of course, because we're about to eat matzah, so of course you have to wash. Why are we washing it? We're a chutz for, so the Gemara says in Arab Sochim, because since the karpas, you have to eat karpas, what do you have to eat karpas for? So the Gemara says karpas is not really a mitzvah. Karpas was instituted, that the Chazal wanted to do a lot of funny things at the Seder, to do things out of the ordinary, to get the kids to start excited and start asking questions. So karpas was one of those things that we do. So the Gemara says it's not a real chiyuv, it's not a real mitzvah, but you do it anyway. Chazal advise us, institute, whatever you want to call it, to do it anyway. So since we're going to eat the carpus, we're going to dip the carpus into something. There are different opinions. Ashkenazim dip it into meimelech, into salt water. The Rambam dip it into charesis, whatever you think you're dipping the carpus into. It becomes what's called the davish tibula b'mashke. So a davish tibula b'mashke, you have to wash the tos yadayim for midder abundant. Why is that? Because there's a din that kolaposos a truma osa mashke liyos tchila. that anything that could potentially disqualify truma causes mashkin, causes a liquid to become a rishon l'tumah. It's a very, very strange din. Because usually the tumah, things go down the tumah. The further you are removed from the source of the tumah, the lower you go. And yet Chazal upped the ante a little bit when it comes to tumah's mashkin, so they made mashkin go backwards. That a mashkin is so easily... it's so easily possible to be able to become a tumah. So if and when it's exposed to a davar paisla satruma, a davar paisla satruma means something that's a sheni that usually makes truma into a shlishi. So it's unheard of that a sheni should make a rishon. Yeah, that's what happens with tumas mashkin. It's a psak quark. It's a sugi min d'rabban in the end of the first parak of Shabbos. So the stam yadayim or davar paisla satruma. If you touch truma before washing it to os yadayim, so min d'rabban the truma would be possible. Not minatar. Yatar. There's no such thing as minatar. Is your hands being tummy, but you are tahor. That concept doesn't exist with the Raisa. But with the Rabbanan, they were misakin that your hands are considered to be a davar place of truma. And therefore, if they would touch mashke, they'll make the mashke to become a risha. And then mashke will in turn make the food become a sheni. It becomes complicated. So to avoid this whole problem, Chazal instituted that before you eat a davar shetibul of a mashke, you should wash the tos yadayim. So that's the reason why we wash orchats. That's what the Gemara says, that's why we wash orchats. So there's the famous Taz, where the Taz has a kasha on the Minigo Olam. It says, he doesn't understand, everybody under the sun washes orchats. It's part of Kadesh orchats, Karpasim, or Kadesh orchats, whether you have the traditional melody or Uncle Moshe melody, whichever melody you sing at the Seder, we sing both. We have a Minig, we sing both. That's how strange Minhagim and family sometimes thought. Because for Dera Deras, from the days of Yitzchak Mitzrayim, everybody sang Kadesh orchats the old way. So that's the way I grew up singing, so that's what we sang. But when my kids got to be like 3 years old, and then they started to sing Uncle Moshe, Uncle Moshe sang the Uncle Moshe version, so they wanted to sing the Uncle Moshe version. But how can I change the Minig Yisrael singing the old version? So we sing both versions. So that's what we have. And then we sing it Kadesh orchats twice. Sveik the Dina. There are a few things that we sing twice at our Seder. Not for any great, deep, dark... If someone would come to visit the Seder, they think there's some deep, dark, halachic reasons for this. There's absolutely nothing. We sing Chazal Sidur Pesach twice also. Because, you know, my wife and the kids like the upbeat, you know, Chazal Sidur Pesach, you know. But I grew up, Chazal Sidur Pesach was... Probably the way you sang, right? It was the older. It was the niggun of Elitzion Bera, right? And the old Elitzion, not the upbeat Elitzion. The Elitzion, the one that sounds like someone's dying, like it's supposed to sound Elitzion. So Chasal Sidur the Pesach was always sang to that Nusag also, because it's a krecht. Chasal Sidur Pesach didn't know. Kasha Zachim was sound the race, and we don't have a Mesa Mikdash, so you're crying. So, like in the middle of Chasal Sashat and Musaf, we get to, you know, that's Elitzion, that's the old Elitzion before 1980, that was the old Elitzion. So I always felt that it's strange not to see Chazal Sidur Pesach to the old niggun. It was such a powerful niggun, so we do it both. So we sing the up and the mournful cry one. So we have a few of these strange minhagim with the Sobolevsky family. These are not bound at any of the tamidim. They don't have to follow these minhagim. They don't make any sense. It just because my kids want one when I want something else. So we may actually catch them. Fine. So back to the story. So the Taz is the kasha. He says he doesn't understand. Everybody washes orchats at the Seder, but the Gemara is the favorite that the reason why you wash orchats is because the davar shetibul b'mashke, and like any other night of the year, you have to wash. So says the Taz, there are many, many people who are not washing until the time when they eat wet apples all year long. There are many, many people who are not washing until the time when they put their Danish into their coffee in the old days. So how come all of a sudden it comes to the Seder, everyone becomes so religious, everyone becomes so scrupulous, everyone's following the din? What happened to the din in Shulchan Aruch all year long of washing? That's the Taz's cash on the minigol. So the Taz, I've pointed this out before, is not meant to be in any derogatory. I think the Taz had a good sense of humor. The Taz had, there are a few lines here and there you find in the Taz that he liked to throw in a little bit of humorous comments here and there. Here and there, not too much. Once in a while the Taz had a funny line. So again, you have to put yourself in the 1500s in Poland, where it was a pretty dark, miserable, dreary place. So any little bit of humor could cheer things up. So when the Taz asked this kasha in Shulchan Aruch, he says, how come are you talking that all of a sudden everyone washes the Tos Yadayim and the Seder, and nobody washes the rest of the year? So he ends the line by saying, Man Ishtana Halayla Zemek HaLeilos. It's a joke. He cracked the joke. That was the... We quoted another joke from the Taz earlier this year about when he argues about the Marshal, about starting the Leil Shmini Atzeres, eating in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres early before Sukkah is technically over. So he says, the Mashal says, you have to wait till dark. So the Taz writes, the Mashal was good. He's a tiny son, Klai Yisrael B'chinam. He makes the Jewish people fast. It's a joke. It's the last day of Yom Tov. People have been eating non-stop since Rosh Hashanah. So what he was laughing. He was saying, B'chigazer ala Klai Yisrael tiny B'chinam. Anyway, so we have to collect all the jokes of the Taz. So over here, he leaves the Tzarchi on the Minigo Elam and Ishtar Zebuch HaLeilus. So Taf, what's the answer? What's the answer to the joke? What's the answer to the Kashim? The what? He doesn't answer. He leaves it blank by Tzarchi. There's no Avad Ma'inu. There's no answer to this Kashim. He's not Yetzi Magi with this joke. So what's the answer to the Kashim? The Nitziv had a terror to the Kashim. See, right, that he thinks that the Ikar Adin, the Minig HaOlam, assumes that din of Tibul B'Mashke doesn't really apply B'Zman HaZeh. Some Rishonim say that you don't have to wash B'Zman HaZeh for Tibul B'Mashke, because Tibul B'Mashke was only instituted B'Zman when they were Mapur and Tumah V'Tahara. Because the whole thing was Tumah V'Tahara Dikah Chumrah, so they only instituted that Chumrah, that it was Yadayim, B'Zman HaMikdash, B'Zman when there was Tumah V'Tahara. B'Zman HaZeh, nobody cares about the food's Tommy, not Tommy, we're all Tommy Mace anyways, what's the difference? So the whole Takana of washing on Tibul B'Mashke doesn't apply. So in Shulchan Aruch and Uchaz Atilas Yadayim, that Shita is quoted, and that's why those people who do wash Bizman HaZeh for Tibul B'Mashke wash without a bracha. Because in deference to that minority view, there's one view in Rishayim that says that you don't have to wash for Tibul B'Mashke Bizman HaZeh all together. So Shulchan Aruch and Uchaz Atilas Yadayim is Machriya, you should wash without a bracha. That's what Tachan we wash by the Seder, we wash without a bracha. Those people who wash before they eat wet apples, so they do wash without a bracha. Right, that's the problem, because bread was also instituted al tzrach truma, right? It was also al tzrach of truma, yeah. So you have to figure out why. So bread, it could be that there may be two different reasons for washing bread. Tzrach truma was one of the reasons, and then the Tariskanim speaks about his kadishtim, isim kadoshim, there may have been a second takon of that. It's not just al tzrach v'tara. Tibul b'mashke was pure tumah v'tara, no pun intended, it's a good joke, it was pure tumah v'tara, whereas, was a joke, Asher, was a joke, whereas the tzrach truma for bread may have been also had a dimension of isim, not just the technicality of Tumah V'Tahara. So maybe that second aspect still applies to Bizman HaZeh. Possibly that would be the issue. So get back to the story. So there is an opinion in Rishonim that you don't have to wash b'chlaf for wet fruit, wet vegetables, Bizman HaZeh. So the Netziv says he thinks that's what the Minhag HaOlam is. Those who are making and they don't wash the Tilsi Daim for Tibul Mashke today are relying on that sheet and finishing. Goodbye, that's what they hold. So then why are they washing at the Seder? Says the Netziv. No, it's a different form. Says the Netziv, we're washing by the Seder al Zechel HaMikdash. Because the same way that we kerich by the Seder Zechel HaMikdash, the same way we have Shnei Tavshil and Zechel HaMikdash. So it must be that on the Lel HaSeder, we do things to commemorate the way they did things in Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaKayim. So the very washing, the whole Orchot today is not merely Mikra Din. It's only Al Zechel HaMikdash. According to that Netziv, it would explain why there was a strange custom in some communities, and some families still have that custom, that only the Bala Seder washes Orchot. Only the father at the table washes Orchot. Anyone seen that meeting? When the father gets up to wash rochutz? When I was a little boy, that's what we used to do. That was our family meeting. We changed it. We didn't change the nigun, but we changed the minhagim. So that was our meeting. My father's meeting from, I don't know, from his father, whatever it was, said only the father got up to wash rochutz. Where did that meeting come from? There were some communities that have that custom. Where did that come from? So that's a throwback to this Netziv. If you hold like the Taz, that the washing of Orchitz is mamash mikra adin, you have to wash. So the same way I have to wash the Tosid Ayin for Rachza, I have to wash for Orchitz as well. But if you hold like the Netziv, that it's not really a din, it's just al Zechel HaMikdash, so then the Zechel HaMikdash is the Seder, some of them are not done for everybody. Let's say, not everybody has Shnei Tavshilim in front of them. Gemara's machlekes is about that. We pass because Shnei Tavshilim don't have to be in front of everybody. There's one Zeche for the entire family. So it's a funny thing. Some Zeches, everyone does Kerech, but not everybody does has a Beit HaNezor in front of them. So apparently some poskim were of the opinion that if Orchatz is only a Zecher, then the Zecher was not instituted for all the Bnei HaMishpach. It was only instituted for the Baal HaSeder. He's mighty everybody. One Zecher for the entire family. So whether or not you accept this Netziv that Orchatz today is only al Zecher HaMikdosh, certain things in the Seder are for sure Zechel HaMikdash. It's not a Shaila. Karach, the Gemara says Zechel HaMikdash. Shnei Tavshil, the Gemara says Zechel HaMikdash. So there are definitely things out there in the Seder that are Zechel HaMikdash. And the question is, what is this about the Lel HaSeder? Why is it that somehow Zechel HaMikdash keeps on popping up so much? Is it just because the Maaseh HaKorban Pesach is missing? Is there so much that we feel that we have to be Zecher? But perhaps there's something a little bit more within this, this idea of Zeich L'Mikdash Davka B'Dal Leil HaSeder. There's a very cryptic conversation that takes place between Kodesh Baruch and Moshe Rabbeinu in the first encounter that Kodesh Baruch has with Moshe Rabbeinu back in Parshas Shmos. So Kodesh Baruch gives him this grandiose, plan. He's going to come to Paro, he's going to come to the Jewish people, and he's going to release us, and he's going to get out of Mitzrayim, and he's going to fall together, it's going to be wonderful. And Moshe Rabbeinu asks Kodesh Baruch seems to be a very strange question. That means he says, I'm going to come to Klal Yisrael, I'm going to come with this grandiose presentation about the Geula, and they're going to ask me a simple question, I don't know the answer. Baruch Shalom, what's your name? It's like, Hamlof Abdullah, sometimes it's always very, very hard. As a Rebbe, I always have this problem. So the Baruch Hashem should always be Michael Mick. I'm not so good with names. I used to always feel bad about that I wasn't so good with names and faces. I could never match up names and faces. It's just not my strength. So I went to Rav Asher Weiss. He told us once that he has a lot of trouble with remembering names. He said he has a lot of, he recognizes faces, but if you match up names and faces, he doesn't consider that to be one of his strengths. It's also it's a good person to emulate in terms of weaknesses. So it's always embarrassing because, as a Rav and Shul or as a Rebbe, if you don't catch the guy's name like the first week, it's always embarrassing to ask later on, the guy's been in the shift for 4 years, ask what his name is, doesn't work well. So one of the milas of Zoom, the guys in Zoom, it's good because I learned some names in Zoom because your name is on your, assuming that your face is on, not everyone's face is on. If your face is on and your name is on, everyone, I see all of a sudden everyone just started to flash on now. Make sure the Rebbe knows that they are by Pesach time. So l'havla of adults, Kodesh Baruch Hu, is requested by Moshe Rabbeinu, please identify yourself. Please figure out who are you? What was your name? From Olima Shmoy Ma'amalei. So the question is a very, very startling question. And Kodesh Baruch Hu's answer is even more startling. You can't even say the answer because the answer is Hashem Hashem. You're not allowed to pronounce that name. So Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll be whoever I am, wherever I'll be. And then that discussion about names comes up again in the beginning of Parshas Va'era, where all of a sudden Kodesh Baruch Hu initiates the Moshe Rabbeinu and says, by the way, I have a lot of names. Kael Shakai, those are the old names that the others knew me by. But my real name is Shmi Hashem L'Nadat Lehem. He said, this is the real name. The real name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. So what is that all about? What's the significance of that? Obviously, we can't even begin to delve into Shemesh Kodesh Baruch Hu, the deepest secrets of the universe. But Mamish is just, Tari L'Amda Nitzarech, just a little Tipa Menayam, a little something. So the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, just if you can even use the phrase of Pipshuta, and talk about the Shem Hashem, but Lafi, our understanding of Pipshuta seems to be almost a combination of three different things. It seems to be a little bit of a combination of Hoya, Hoya V'Yia. That is the description of Kodesh Baruch Hu. That Kodesh Baruch Hu is someone of the past, so the word Hoya is kind of snuck into that word. Hoveh, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is here, and Yir is the Yir at the beginning of the word, which indicates Lashon Asid. So basically with the name, Hoya, Hoveh, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, the name Ekesh, Ekeh, is basically a statement that's saying that Kodesh Baruch Hu is not bound by time. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is not limited by time. That's what the essence of the Shem Hashem is. And again, obviously, much deeper secrets than that, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not limited to any specific time frame. There is a mitzvah, the Torah of Halachta Midrachov, that was supposed to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was supposed to follow in the footsteps of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are certain aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we can't emulate. That's what the Gemara says. What? Uvoy Sidbach, you're supposed to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chiyevshali, David boy, Ish Eichlohu. How are you going to cling to Kodesh Baruch Hu? How are you going to walk in the path of Kodesh Baruch Hu? You're going to be like Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says that we have to take certain aspects of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that a Kodesh Baruch Hu chooses to reveal to us and try to emulate them and try to connect to them. So the atzmius of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not shayach for us to come close to. But the way a Kodesh Baruch Hu presents himself to us, those are the things that we're supposed to emulate. So that's why, Moshe Gemara says, Uvo Sidbach, he's supposed to be David Bashkina. If you actually David by, Ali David by Tamidi Chachamim. Because a person is Tamil Chacham, so he's involved in the Dvar Hashem, so he's learning the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you're Dovek to the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's like you're being Dovek to the Shechina. That's like a Dvekos Hashem. The closer you are to different Torah, so the closer you are to being Medavek Shechina. I think I've told over the story, but I probably haven't told it over in a while, so maybe the new Tamil, we haven't heard it yet. So this was Nizgala to me, I don't mean it. But it was Nizgala to me once this idea of just what it means that Davik Batarik and Davik Mashchina, it was Nizgala to me. This goes back over 30 years ago. It goes back to one of my Tkufas and learning in Kerbiyab, and it was a Ben Azmanim. It was a little summer. It was actually the very end of the Ben Azmanim, between Kainzman and Elzman. And I was staying in Eretz Yisrael for those couple of weeks. And it was a day or two before yeshiva started again. And I had to go to Meisharim, I forgot already for a while. I went to Meisharim for something. And then I had an hour or so to waste. I had to meet with somebody, and I had like a good hour. I was sitting in Meisharim in the end of August. You know, so there's not that much. I mean, okay, so you go for falafel, okay, if you're done, for sure, come on. You go get an ice cream. Like, what are you going to do after that exactly? So some people like to just kind of, you know, hang around Manny's didn't exist in those days, and other swarm stores, people like to, you know, just hang around the swarm stores a little bit. So I figured, okay, how much can you hang around the swarm stores? So I figured, I'll go find the base manager, and I'll sit and learn for an hour, or I'll wait till I meet the next person that I meet. Fine. So, Baruch Hashem, Meshram is not that hard to find the base manager, you know, to go more than half a block to find some place to hang out. So the first base manager that I saw, it said on a base manager to Chassidi Alexander. I happen not to be an Alexander Chassid, but, you know, as good as any other Chassidus to me. So I went into the Mishmash Chassid Alexander, and the best part was the Ekdesh was really good. And there was nobody there. It was a little Ben Azman, nobody was around. So I sat down, I figured, good, I'll sit down and learn the Mishmash Chassid Alexander, become an Alexander Chassid for a day. So I sat there, learned for an hour or so. And there was one good old Yerushalmi. He probably came from Alexander in Poland. Alexander was a town in Poland. So he walks over to me. You know, he's like looking over. I'm sitting and learning. And I was, you know, it was 21, 20, 22 at the time, whatever it was. I was a kid. Didn't have a beard. Nothing's changed. So, you know, he's looking over me. And looking at me. He brings me a cold drink. I remember that. He brought me a cold cup of water. He looks at me and he says to me, Kol HaDovik BaTorah. Dovik b'Kodesh Baruch Hu. He said it in the Chassidish Miftah, but Kol Dovik b'Torah, Kol Dovik b'Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you're clinging to Torah, so you're clinging to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he walked away. I never saw him again. So I've told over that story many, many times. I said that was a turning point in my life. I said that old Yerushalmi, it was maybe a Gilui Vilei Hanavi, I'm not sure, but he was there at that point in my life to remind me what my the direction where she went back to Kemiyam for the next Zman, next two Zmanim, and then we actually came back to here, and we tried to be Davik as much as we can, to be Davik Patarik, or Davik B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the mitzvah of emulating Kadosh Baruch Hu and clinging to Kadosh Baruch Hu is a very, very difficult mitzvah for us to perform. That's what the Gemara says, how are you supposed to be Valachta B'Drachav? You're supposed to follow and do what Kadosh Baruch Hu does. So what does Kadosh Baruch Hu do? He creates worlds. I'm supposed to be very alone. What am I supposed to do? Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev al Adin. What am I supposed to do exactly? To be Valach to Bedrachav. So Gemara says, Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Gemel Chesed. That's one aspect of El Kus that Kadosh Baruch Hu has revealed to us. He's a Malbish Arumim, and he's a Refi Chaylim, and he's a Smech HaSvekala. He does all these wonderful acts of Chesed. It behooves us to try to do as best as we can to emulate, to follow in the footsteps of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe this aspect of Elokus is also something that's incumbent upon us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Lamala Min Hazman. So it doesn't mean that we're literally going to be Lamala Min Hazman. We still have to do mitzvah tzeis shezman grama, and we're chayav with those mitzvahs. So we have to, Zman is born for us. But maybe we have to almost live our lives in a certain degree, in a certain aspect of Lamala Min Hazman, not to get so bogged down in the here and now. That most of our, we get very, very, very stuck on what's happening in front of us right now. And we sometimes tend to forget that there's a great, glorious past that we're part of, and there's a glorious future that's awaiting us. And maybe that's part of the mitzvah of Zeich HaMikdash. Maybe that's why Zeich HaMikdash is so important after the Leil HaSeder. The Dafka the Leil HaSeder, Dafka the night of Pesach, when it was this Chadish to Klal Yisrael, in a sense, Ushmi Hashem Lanadati Lehem, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm the Hoya Hoya Viviyya, I'm the Malam in Azman, and you too can be the Malam in Azman. You too can have that, somehow that, you don't get so Shakua in the here and now, but you can have a past to look back to, and a future to look forward to. That's part of the Yetzim Avayda of the Leil HaSeder. And perhaps that's part of the reason why there's almost like a back and forth in the Seder. They're almost like two themes that keep on repeating themselves, and they seem to be tugging at each other. One is looking back to the past. So much of the Leil HaSeder is a look back to the past. Arami Avedavi, the person comes to bring his Bikurim, and he's talking about things in the past. The farmer standing there, and the Jews sitting around the Seder table. He's talking about Maisla from thousands, 3,000 plus years ago. Around there was Yankov Avinu, and there was a Lavan, and there was a Paro, there was a Baishan, there was like stories from thousands and thousands of years before. Because a person doesn't identify with what came before him. A person thinks that everything starts with him. So then he doesn't have that appreciation. He doesn't understand that it's a tremendous, tremendous source of chizuk, of inspiration, to know that we had a glorious past behind us. But a person knows, I'm not the first person to sit down eating matzah now. I'm eating matzah the same way my father ate matzah, my grandfather ate matzah, my great-grandfather ate matzah. Back in the day, the G'dalei Rishonim ate matzah, the G'dalei Amoraim ate matzah, the Tarayim ate matzah, the Nevi'im ate matzah, the Moshe Rabbeinu ate matzah. Moshe Rabbeinu told over the story of Tzibah, and Yeshua told it over, and Shmuel HaNavi told it over, and David HaMelech told it over, and Rabbi Akiva told it over, and the Raman told it over, and Rashi told it over, and I'm telling it over. That's a tremendous, tremendous chizuk. It gives you such a tremendous source of inspiration to know that you're part of a long, long chain. But there's some people who are really, really good about living in the past. I mean, they're able to connect history, but they don't have that ability to look to the future. They don't realize that there's an unbelievable future ahead of us as well. So Zeich HaMikdash is the engine that drives us to remember what happened in the past. And Zeich HaMikdash, not just Stam Zeich HaMikdash, Zeich HaMikdash is Meir Yevon HaMikdash. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Yochanan Zach made different takanas. Some takanas were simply to remember the past, and other takanas were to get ready for the future. Meir Yevon HaMikdash. You have to act in a certain way. You can't do certain things. You have to do certain things because Meir Yevon HaMikdash. So that dual koyach, to be able to go back to the past and to go to the future as well, so that was really nischadish, but I'll never say that. That's exactly what was nischadish in Pesach, the ability to look to the future. That ability to look to the future, not to get so bogged down in what's going on right now. So there's a fascinating insight by Yaakov Kamenetsky, appears in the Sefer, about cryptic statements of Chazal about what's going on in the days of Mitzrayim. So we know the famous Maimon Chazal about how Moshe Rabbeinu went to Paro in the old days, when he was still, before he was thrown out of Paro. He went to Paro and he explained to him, you know, give the Jews a little bit of a day off. It'll help the economy. It'll help them work harder. It'll be good for them. Give them a vacation. Give them one day a week. So Yismach Moshe Matnes Chalka. So Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be Zoicha to get Klaus on the notion of Shabbos. So even in Mitzrayim, they had a day off. Saturday was off. So they didn't work too hard on Shabbos. So what did they do? He said, what in the world did Klaus do on their one day off in Mitzrayim? So the Medrash says that they had Megillos, they had different scrolls, different things that they would get together. They would gather together. They would study. They would read. They would have some kind of exposure to these Megillos, and these Megillos would somehow give them chizuk for the rest of the week. The problem is we don't have any copy of what they were. We have no idea what they were learning. What were they studying? What were these famous Megillos? They're lost to history. So Yaakov Kamenetsky suggests that maybe the Megillos that were being studied were not lost history. We have them. We actually make reference to them every Shabbos multiple times. You know what they were? They were the Perek, Tehillim, Mizmor, Shir, Yom HaShabbos. That was it. Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. We know that many of the Gemara says in the end of Pesach, many of the Parachim of Tehillim that we have today were many of them were written by David HaMelech, and many of them were incorporated by David HaMelech. They were all Parachim. There was some Tehillim that came from Adam HaRishon, and there was some Kvitach Tehillim from Amravinu and some of Meshur Rabbeinu. David HaMelech compiled, and then he added on a significant amount of his own also, but there were other Chacham who added on to the Tehillim. So this parak, Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, may have predated David HaMelech. It was all the way back to the days of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what they used to get together. They would sing Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, which would explain why Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos plays such a major role in our tefillah. That's how we start Shabbos, with the words Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. We say it in the Pesukah Dezimra for Shabbos. Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos is a major component of Shabbos. It's the Shir Shel Yom for Shabbos. So the only problem, Mizmor Yaakov said, is that Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos doesn't seem to have anything to do with Shabbos. There's nothing in that mizmor that has to do with Shabbos. Mizmor Shel Yom HaTovos Ala Ha'im Ve'Bikichas Dech Ma'asim V'Lolos Ala. What does that do with Shabbos? what's going on in that mizmor? So we have to explain that mizmor is perfect for Shibud Mitzrayim. Why is it perfect for Shibud Mitzrayim? It's because the basic theme of that parak of Tehillim is that even though things are not so good now, they're going to get better. Rishoyim right now are doing great, but it's going to end. That there's going to come a boker. Right now it's leilos. Right now we have to have amuna. Right now things are dark. Right now things are difficult. But there's going to be a boker. There's going to be a morning. Morning, not just physical morning. There's going to be an awakening. There's going to be a glorious future. So the theme of Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos is not to get so bogged down in the here and now, that there's going to be a great future. What more perfect words of comfort was there for the Avodim in Mitzrayim? When Klal Yisrael was suffering, so Moshe Rabbeinu instituted for them, let's read these Megillahs, let's be mechazik ourselves with the words of a glorious future. That's what kept Klal Yisrael alive. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he finally tells them, Ushmi Hashem, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is Ekesh Ekeh. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who we have been waiting for, is the one who taught us that secret of Am Lamal and Azman. And therefore, just because things are dark now, they can become great in the future. That was the message. So it's not a great surprise that the Leil HaSeder, so Chazal kept on going back and forth between the past and the future. That Chazal wanted to make sure that we know where we came from, we realize our glorious past, and we realize the glorious future in front of us. But sometimes you have people who are really, really good at living in the past and living in the future, and sometimes at the expense of the present. And there's two famous Mamari Chazal about when Yaakov Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim. So what are some of the things that he sets into place? He realized that this is going to be the beginning of a significant golus. So what are the safeguards that he sets up in place? So the two midrashim. So one midrash says that he carried with him the krushim, carried with him the atzeshitim. He brought along the atzeshitim because he knew there's going to be a mishkan. A couple hundred years from now, they're going to need wood to build the mishkan. So Yaakov Avinu brings that wood with him. And then what's the other thing that Yaakov Avinu does before they go down to Mitzrayim? It's Yehuda Shachafan of Geshna. He sends Yehuda ahead to go set up a yeshiva. So what's the significance of these two midrashim? How do you understand these two midrashim connecting to one another? So it appears that what these midrashim are addressing is a common, issue that's going to come up in all Golias. Whenever Christ will in Golas, so there's a very, very fine line between what our mindset is going to be. On the one hand, we're not supposed to get too shakua. We're not supposed to get too set in our ways in Golas. We're supposed to have that eye to the future. That Meheri Bana Mikdash, that the Gula is going to come, Karafayin. So that's true. And we shouldn't get too bogged down in what's going on here. On the other hand, some people take that attitude to an extreme, that we're not going to get bogged down with what we have in front of us. So they use that almost as a cop-out, as an excuse. Well, we're not really here for that long anyway, so we don't have to bother building yeshivas, we don't have to bother building shuls, we don't have to do too much, because anyway, behave on a mikdash. So sometimes you see people have that attitude. Like some people, they have this plan, they're going on Aliyah in 3 years anyway, so it doesn't really make a difference what happens in the next 3 years here. It doesn't make a difference. Every minute counts, no matter where you are. A person's in Chutz Laaretz, a person's in Golos, so they have to perfect the Golos also. So Yaakov Avinu taught Klal Yisrael, on the one hand, just because we're carrying the Atzei Shittim for the Krush and for the Mishkan, doesn't exempt us from building yeshiva right here and now. And on the other hand, you can't just build the yeshiva here and now and not have in mind the Krushim. So Yaakov Avinu already instilled in Klal Yisrael, when you go into Golus, so you have to go in with an eye to the future, that you're leaving. On the other hand, that's not a pleiter, that Kippur uses an excuse not to focus on the here and now as well. That theme also expresses itself with the Lel HaSeder, that even though there's so much emphasis on the past, there's so much emphasis on the future, you can't forget for a second who we are and where we are. That means we're here now also, and we have to live our lives here and now also. And that's why the Rambam has this famous comment, "Bechol dor v'dor." That word "ato" doesn't appear in the Mishnah, but the Rambam has it in his. In one place, the Rambam has one place. The Rambam doesn't have it, but in one place, the Rambam does mention "kili yotza atam mitzrayim," that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is not just the Hoya and not just the Yiyah; he's the Hove also. So the Hove is also critical. So the real Avoida on Pesach night is almost to take three different time frames, which really don't seem to fit together. They seem to be a stereo. That's right. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Lamal and Zman. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives us that ability to, at the same time, we focus on the past, we speak about the present, and we look to the future as well. It's not a stereo. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing on Pesach night. Halach Midrach, we're supposed to be living our lives through the eyes of Hakadosh Baruch Hu's vantage point of being Lamal and Zman. We shouldn't be so shakua in any one given time frame, that we have to live our lives a little bit understanding, appreciating where we come from, understanding where we are right now, with our eye to the future as well. Okay? So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow we'll try to give one more halacha / hashkafa or something or other at some point, and then we'll Wednesday with Bechir Mitzvah Shem, we'll wrap things up, and then we'll start our new Zman Mitzvah Shem right after Pesach. Okay.